Hi, I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell. And this is Totally Normal About That, a podcast where we explore various pieces of queer media and the things we love, hate, and love to hate about them. This week, we're feeling totally normal about Looking for Her. Let's dive in.
Let's do it. Okay. So, last week, we watched Friends and Family Christmas, which is a movie about lesbians who are fake dating to get their parents off their backs during a busy holiday season. So of course we felt like this week, obviously we needed more lesbians fake dating to get parents off of their backs for the holiday season. And that's exactly what we got in this movie. Although we didn't actually spend that long with the parents, I feel like, given the length of the movie. Like,
right.
I liked it. It was a very cute movie. It is paced a little weird, though.
It is paced really weird. And, like, it has a very, like, low budget kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make some really odd, like, sound editing and music choices. And like, some of the acting is a little over the top. Like, more over the top than a Hallmark movie. To the point where it's like, oh, this isn't just cheesy, it's just not that good. I liked this movie, and I'm about to spend the next hour absolutely tearing it to shreds.
I know, that's what we do. We come in on these holiday movies, we're like, oh my god, they're so cute. This is an entire list of every single thing that was wrong with it. Like, please go watch.
Okay, but this movie did... Look, the premise is cute. Like, I thought the way it ended was cute. Certainly, like, I thought the ending was a better, easier sell for me than the ending of last week's movie. Mm-hmm. In that this one, they were like, okay, we're interested in each other. Let's just start over and, like, do this all right. And I was like, cool, yes, I'm on board with that. Like, that sounds like the right...
Yes.
No, nobody's a soulmate, nobody's moving in together, but nobody's also, like, vague enough about, like, well, we'll see, I guess, if maybe. So.
Okay.
I liked that.
So, this movie is really interesting because it is an hour and 44 minutes long, and the two protagonists don't even meet until, like... I don't know, what would you say? 20, 25% of the way into the film?
Right.
Like, it's definitely a choice that they make. It's nice because we get to know the characters a little bit, like, in the beginning.
Right.
And I did like both of the characters. I felt like we could have moved through the whole movie quicker. It just moves very slow, and they linger on everything a lot.
Oh my god, some of those choices were weird. Like, there were some scenes that just felt really, really, really long,
mm-hmm.
for no reason. And then there was stuff where it was like, wait, do we even have any backstory about this character? Like, why... Why is this character unsure about this thing? Why is this character not doing Christmas with their... Like, there was just stuff where you're... Who is this? Like...
I feel crazy saying this, but I feel like this movie would have benefited from a little more exposition. Like...
Okay, but actually, though...
Like that... I mean, really, like, I literally watched it and was like... Oh, but, like, things could move faster, and we could get to things... And then we'd have time for more development if you would just give us some information up front. Like, just, like, little bit, right. Like, just, like, little lines. If you would just explain some of the stuff. They didn't do a whole lot of that.
No, they did not. And so, instead, you spend, like, basically over three quarters of the movie, like, well, what happened with... Taylor's parents to make her not want to come home, like, to make it so that she hasn't been coming home. Like, you just get vague allusions to, like,
we never
they
know.
Weren't that cool when she came out, and then we don't actually ever know exactly what they did, because Taylor brings it up and is like, then why did you act the way you did? And her mom's basically like, listen, we're parents, we make mistakes sometimes, and I'm like, what's the mistake?
What did you do? What did you say?
Like, because there are different levels of, like, I need to know how much Taylor's reaction is scaled appropriately, because is it, like, they expressed mild disappointment that they'd never get a son, or is it, did they call you a slur? Like, we have very, or was it they were just concerned that, like, life would be harder for her because she's a lot, like, what happened? And why does Olive not have a family?
Okay, you ready? I'm gonna lay some issues out here that I just, like, struggled with, okay?
I've never been more ready for
just
anything
gonna,
in my life.
I'm just gonna start listing things. Okay, we find out that Taylor used to have a girlfriend named Jess.
Correct.
And eventually we learned that they broke up, like, 6 months ago and Jess dumped her. But, like, we don't have any other details about that. We don't know why. We don't know, like, what the relationship was like. We don't know, like, anything about it. And other than the impression that, like, Jess, like, we know Jess never met her parents. But, like, again, we don't know if the reaction from the parents is about Jess specifically or about something else. And it's just, it's all very weird. Like, because the movie is centered around the fact that they're pretending that Olive is Jess. And I'm like, I don't know why you couldn't just have a fake girlfriend, like a replacement girlfriend. Why specifically did you feel the need to, like, make her be Jess? I could understand if it was, like, they
had an
issue with
Jess. Well, because her dad was like, you need to bring Jess home for the holidays. And then Taylor didn't want to be like, we broke up. But I just don't know why you wouldn't be like, we broke up.
Well, not only that, but I'm like, if you want to bring a fake girl, you could say, like, I actually am not with Jess, but I have a new girlfriend. But, like, you've hired someone to pretend to be Jess. Like, that just, it felt like there was something about Jess that they, like, got hung up on. And I'm like, but they don't even know her. Like, why does it matter
right.
if she's the same girlfriend?
We do, like, meet Jess briefly when she comes to get her, like, she's apparently kept calling Taylor to get her stuff back, and then Taylor calls her, and then Jess is like, well, like, does the fact we broke up mean we can't be friends? And Taylor's like, I mean, yeah, kind of.
Which, like, good for her.
Like, why did you break up?
Good for her. Like, we also, like,
but also, why did you break up?
She works for an online newspaper, and her, like, assistant, writer, whoever she is that, like, works under her, is obsessed with...
Oh, the best character in the entire
amazing,
movie.
By the way, is obsessed with physical newspapers. And, like, there's something to me that's just, like... That's a choice. It's just a choice that they made. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But her...
Yeah, but I love her so much. Her name, I think it's, like, Marge or something.
I believe so. Yes,
and
Marge.
She is, yeah, the best character in the entire movie.
She's so delightful, and I really appreciate her. And she's very funny. At one point, Taylor suggests taking her to pretend to be Jess, and Marge is like, what am I supposed to tell Dan that I'm spending Christmas
what do I
with
tell
my
husband?
Lesbian boss, like, instead of him? Which I, like, appreciate. I think that's very funny. We know that Olive, who is the other main character, is broke.
And so is her roommate, Kai.
So is her,
like,
roommate, Kai.
At one point, Kai's like, well, I'm not going to have any money to pay rent this month. And it's like, okay.
I'm unclear where they live. Because...
It's a bit strange.
It's very unclear because, okay, so Jess lives far away-ish from her parents. Like, at least a day's drive. Away from her parents, but she can, like, drive there. Like, do a road trip there, essentially. And Jess is an actress and, like, doing all of these odd jobs to make money while she's trying to get acting gigs. It seems like primarily she's looking at, like, theater gigs.
Right.
And it's very confusing because she's doing all these odd jobs and getting paid, and, like, she gives Kai money for rent because Kai is basically like, I just don't have the money to cover you. And I think at one point she hands her, like, a 20 and is basically like, I know this isn't it, but I'm working on it. And I was like, where do you live? What is your rent? I understand this movie came out a few years ago, but it's not like they can live in LA. Like,
right.
What are you paying?
And she works, like, part-time at a coffee shop and then also does, like, dog walking for her neighbors or mm-hmm. whatever and stuff. And they appear to pay her in exclusively candy canes and notes about how they shouldn't interrupt.
And it's like, and it's not a very walkable city because she clearly needs her car to get around, which is a piece of crap. And so that's the other thing. She, like, gets up, goes to the parking lot to go to her job. She's running late. She's trying to start her car. Her car won't start. Notably, she never leaves herself extra time to get anywhere. So then she's always late.
Correct.
Which
she wakes up late.
Which is very, but yeah, but she's late, like, every day for work until she gets fired. It's very, it's relatable, unfortunately. Like, she just struggles. But, like, she gets in the car, eventually her car starts and she goes to work, and then she's telling her boss this story about how, like, it was unusual because she was outside in the car and a Santa, like, waved a wand and it made the car work. And I was like, oh, is that going to be a thing with, like, Santa and miracles or something? But no, it never comes up again. And we never see in this movie. Ever.
No, that's not part of the situation at all.
I was like, is this, like, what is this random obscure detail? I kept thinking it was going to be, like, the Chekhov's gun or something, but it wasn't. It just was a random gun. Like, it just never went off.
Well, there's also, like, the part where they come up with the story of how they meet.
Yeah.
And Olive just tells this absurd story about this necklace.
She assumes that, like, that's not a family heirloom or something. It's just,
well, right, that's the thing. I kept thinking someone at this party is gonna say, I gave that to her.
Right, I was like, okay. Also.
But no, she just comes up with this ridiculous long story with all these details, and I'm like, no, keep it simple. Just say you bumped into each other at a coffee shop. My God.
That's what's funny, too, is she works at this little cafe. I'm like, that's where they work. And, like, seemingly all they serve there is black coffee. And nothing else. And, like, that's all she serves. And it's this tiny little hole-in-the-wall place. And they never have more than, like, one customer in there at a time. But they have two staff members in there at all times. Because it's her and her boss. And, like,
okay, there's the weird moment where she's been fired. And her boss, like, shoves her against comes up next to her. Like, almost shoves her against a wall to be like, what are you doing here?
Well, not only that, but, like, in that scene, there's a customer in there who's, like, waiting. And she's like, what do you need? Oh, I just want some coffee. So she pours this person a cup of coffee and then goes to the back to, like, make more coffee. And the person just leaves. And the whole time I was like,
I was like, did she just not pay?
I was like, this is going to be a problem. The boss is going to be like, hey, you're fired. And you just let someone have coffee and they didn't even pay. But it's not commented on at all. Like,
no, it is not. None of it is.
I'm like, I'd fire you too. You just, like, let people have all the free coffee. Like, that's their one customer.
I am not someone who frequently says, I need movies to be longer. But God, this movie had so much, like, he spent so much time on this weird little details that didn't matter and then just totally ignored the whole plot.
Yeah, it maybe had, like, an hour and 10 minutes, I feel like, of actual plot. And then it had, like, 30 minutes of extra time. And again, everything was, like, really cute. And honestly, like, I really could have appreciated that we lingered in some of these moments, except, like, it wasn't like they picked and chose, like, which moments were worth spending extra time on. They just spent more than enough time on everything and didn't, like, narrow it down. And also, like, it meant that I still didn't feel like we prioritized the time with them as a couple enough. Because they spent a lot of time alone and, like, doing other things. And, like, even when they were together, so, sorry, let me back up. Olive gets fired.
This is going to make no sense to anybody.
Olive gets fired from her job. She's looking for an acting gig because she's broke and has no money. Taylor's looking to hire someone to take to her parents' house for this unclear reason. She finds Olive and decides to hire her and take her out there. And, like, they get up there. She tells Olive on the way, oh, Jess was, like, a software developer. It won't matter because they're not going to ask you any questions about that. The family immediately asks her a bunch of questions about what software development is. Which is, like, okay, you saw that coming. But you learn later that they knew the whole time that she wasn't Jess. And I'm like, was this your way of trying to, like, get them to admit they were lying? Or are you just mean? Like...
Right. It's also... Okay, so, like, Taylor's first strategy to find someone to be her fake date, to hire this actor, is to go on dating apps.
Oh my god.
And she has this, like, it's actually really hilarious, this, like, string of bad...
It is. It's so funny.
...interview slash first dates she has. Like, there are people who, like, there's somebody who, like, spends the whole time crying. There's someone who's, like, too perky. There's someone who says that she doesn't do apps and thinks, I think, seems to think that they're in, like, a heist.
I honestly don't know. It was very weird.
There's, like, a dude who shows up and she's like, ew. And then she gives up on this, on, like, the dating app situation, and so Marge puts an ad in the personals, in the personal section of the newspaper.
Yes.
So Taylor and Olive meet and pretty immediately decide to do this. Like, there's no, like, tell me more about yourself. There's no, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, background check.
That's the other thing. Taylor's incredibly withholding of information. Like, she doesn't want to tell Olive anything about herself. And I'm like, how is Olive supposed to pretend to be your girlfriend if she doesn't know anything about you?
Right. Right. Didn't know anything about you. And, like, I don't know.
And
it's, and then yet they still agree. Like, Olive just still agrees to go on this road trip with this stranger. Like, girl, this is how you get axe murdered.
Right. Well, and, like, so clearly she's, like, desperately broke. So I'm like, okay. But then the other thing is they get to Taylor's parents' house. No, Cheryl and Frank. And, like, they seem very sweet and very welcoming and everything. Taylor is, like, very suspicious of this, which, like, again, would make more sense if we knew anything about it. But, like, we don't. And we don't really learn much about it either. But notably, like, Olive, I think, spends more quality time with Cheryl and Frank than she really does with Taylor. Like...
Right.
She's with the parents.
Olive immediately is like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, she's smiling. She's hugging.
Right.
She spends so much time smiling in this movie. It actually makes me uncomfortable.
And, like, she says stuff to Taylor, like, oh, they seem really welcoming and accepting. And Taylor's like, yeah, they do. Like, it's super confusing to her. But, like, what is Olive supposed to think? She doesn't know anything else. And, like, Taylor won't tell her anything else. So she's just like, going with it, and she's trying as nicely as she can to get more information, and Taylor is just, like, completely shutting her out.
Right. Their road trip is, like, scenes of them stopping at rest stops or whatever, or, like, packing the car mm-hmm. or getting there or whatever, interspersed with, like, them trying to have a conversation, mm-hmm. and it's so giggly, and yet they learn nothing about each other. Well,
It's
they don't really say anything.
Well, and the funny thing is, Taylor ends up learning a lot about Olive because she asks Olive questions in a way of, like, diverting the attention from herself, and Olive's willing to answer. So again, it's just, but, like, in my head, I'm just like, it's nice that you know these things, but also does it matter that much because you're making her pretend to be someone else?
Right.
Like, it's just a, like, really weird dynamic.
Perhaps we're focusing on the wrong person here.
It's a very odd dynamic. And, like, okay, so last week you mentioned the movie The Proposal. And there was something about this movie that made me think of that as well. Like, Because in that movie, there's the scene where they're flying to Alaska and Ryan Reynolds' character is, like, trying to get or, like, answer questions for Sandra Bullock's character, basically being like, look, I know all this about you, but you need to know stuff about me because we're going to pretend to be in a relationship. And she's just kind of very condescending about it and, like, doesn't care. And I'm like, that at least works because there's, like, a power dynamic and stuff. And, like, you know, we're like, she's going to soften up to him and learn and be more open and whatever. But, like, right. There's nothing about Taylor when we meet her in the beginning of the episode and stuff that tells us that she's, like, a private person or, like, doesn't want anyone to know about stuff. Because the only one we really see her interacting with is Marge, who's her best friend and clearly knows all her business. So there's no impression that, like, she wouldn't tell all of this information or she shouldn't tell her. And, like, why are you withholding? And
there's nothing, right, there's nothing that, like, indicates that, like, I don't know, things with Jess went bad because Jess, like, spilled a lot of her secrets to somebody.
Right.
In which case you'd be like, okay, I get why she's a little hesitant to, like, trust somebody. Or, like, I don't know, she's in WITSEC. And so, like, witness protection program or something, like, give us some deets about why she's so stingy.
It makes no sense!
And yet, despite all this, Olive still falls for her.
And, like, I mean, to be fair, like, Taylor is a really good-looking woman, and, like, her family is very sweet, and, like, she is super nice and, like, easy to get along with, and, like, they clearly have, like, something. And, like, there's a scene where they get up and, like, are drinking hot cocoa together, and it's very sweet, and, like, I enjoy that moment. And Taylor doesn't, like, again, ever condescend to her or make any comments about her, like, needing the money or, like, you know, like, I don't know. She just, like, it is very sweet. Their relationship is very sweet. But,
I feel like that moment in particular, the fire one, I would have liked better if they'd had any soundtrack for it. But it was one of those moments where throughout the movie, they just had, like, minutes long scenes of no music at all or any sort of backdrop noise.
Not only that, but the music that they did use was, like, quiet and very slow, like, gentle Christmas music. And, like, that would have been fine if, again, if it was, like, some of the time. But it was, like, the whole movie. And so then it made the movie seem even longer because, like, it was already paced really slow. And then the music is, like, slow and lingering, and we're taking this long shot of Taylor just leaned up against the bed with her eyes closed, like she's asleep. And like
okay. There's nothing wrong with moments of silence in a movie. Like, if done well, they can be really effective. But it can't just be most of the movie has no music, and then every once in a while we throw in some twinkly little tiny background
right.
Christmas song. Like, it just made some of these scenes so unbearably cheesy.
Yes.
In a way where I was like, oh, I'm cringing because I'm just watching these two have a conversation with no music at all.
Yes.
And yet, like, this calls for something in the background. Like, this moment isn't poignant enough to have no music.
It's really a bummer, too, because there's a lot of stuff about this movie that I really liked. So, for example, I like that Olive had a queer roommate, and I liked that, like, she had this friendship, and, like, Kai was so excited when Taylor came to find her because she loved love and, like, wanted this whole thing. Like, it just...
That was really cute.
And their relationship is really cute. They could have really written it so that, like, Kai was very impatient with Olive or frustrated with her because she didn't have the money for rent or whatever, but, like, it's very clear they're, like, have a very sweet friendship. And, like, despite whatever struggles they're going through or that Olive is going through financially, like, they're able to maintain that, like, friendship and companionship between the two of them. And, like, I liked that relationship a lot. They're, like, sitting there, like, playing games and stuff and, like, having a sweet time. And it felt very real. And, like, I liked that we got to actually, like, learn stuff about Olive. And, like, we see Taylor, like, picking up stuff about her. Like, the fact that she clearly likes sweets because she's, you know, constantly, like, eating sweet snacks and whatever. And honestly, I like Cheryl and Frank a lot. It would have been really...
I loved Cheryl and Frank.
It would have been so easy to make them suck.
Which is why I was like, I want to know what they did.
Right. They literally, it could have been so easy to make them suck as characters and just be like those parents who are trying but doing a really bad job and like it just continues to grate. But if anything, they were like actively trying to break bad habits and you could see it happening. They would do stuff like that would start to get like a little bit tense. And then it was like, they would realize what they were doing and like redirect and like stop doing that behavior. And you could tell like they'd really been working on it and it was intentional. And I could really appreciate that that also made Taylor uncomfortable because it like surprised her and she didn't know what to make of it. But again, like, we just don't know enough about how they acted before to really understand all of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Taylor clearly has some hang-ups because of stuff in the past where, like, it seems like she was expected to be kind of perfect or whatever. And it's like, cool, okay, so she's got that issue, but, like, they never explain it. There's no moment where she's like, you wanted me to be perfect my whole life, and now I... you know, can't open up to people because I'm so afraid of doing something wrong.
Right.
It would have been a moment that could have, like, explained everything about who Taylor is, but instead she just comes across as, like, kind of a stick.
Right. I could also understand it if they made Taylor out to be, like, a workaholic and Olive was really helping her get out of that. There are moments when Taylor chooses to work instead of be like actively engaged with her family, but it doesn't ever come across as she's being a workaholic. It seems like she's using it to give her an excuse to like avoid uncomfortable situations. And like, so that just didn't like really go anywhere.
Right.
I did think it was really sweet that Olive kept asking Taylor, like, if she was okay. Like, she could clearly tell how Taylor was feeling, and, like, that was really nice. But again, like, I just wish she'd opened up more. Olive learned more about Taylor from Taylor's parents than she did from Taylor. Like...
Right. Yeah. And yet, somehow... Olive ends up, like, wildly into Taylor.
Yeah.
Because there's this moment. There's this... Okay, this part was, like, kind of frustrating. Because basically, Taylor is starting to feel bad about, like, keeping this secret from her parents. And she's like, I don't want to lie about this. Like, I'll make something up and say you had a work commitment and you have to leave. And then Olive's like, what's going on? Like, okay, but, like... You're just gonna have me leave and then you're gonna keep the lie going that I had to leave.
Right.
Leave and just not tell them. Like, you could just tell them the truth about what's going on.
Right.
And it's this whole thing, and Taylor's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And instead, Olive decides that while they could talk this out, they could also just have it be smooch o'clock.
Right.
And so then they end up hooking up about it. And I'm like, this seems... Look, I'm here for it, really, ladies. Like, you're doing things in the right order, at least. You're not moving it together before you're kissing or anything. But it feels like this warrants a conversation, because then the next morning, basically, they're up, and, like, Taylor apparently is going to keep going with this lie, and that seems to bug Olive really badly, because then, she comes in, she gives Taylor a kiss on the cheek. Taylor says something about, like, Jess, and then goes to play tennis with her dad, and when she gets back, Olive is gone, and has just, like, run away and left all the money behind, along with, like, a Christmas present, which I don't know where she got the money for that, but...
Right. She spent money she didn't have, and then didn't keep any of the money.
Right. And then, like, leaves and then, like, doesn't answer any of Taylor's calls or anything like that. And apparently life just goes on for, like, some amount of time.
Right. Well, at least, like, a week, because it's, like, they talk about, like, New Year's and stuff. But it's...
Right.
It's a really odd situation because, yes, Olive clearly took them hooking up as Taylor agreeing that she would tell her parents the truth. And Taylor just didn't think that, like, didn't agree to that.
That's not the conversation. That's not what was going right. on.
It's also funny because... So, Taylor's parents, her dad specifically, like, takes all their stuff up to this guest room, or her old bedroom or whatever, and is like, okay, you guys can stay in here. And Taylor's like, yeah, you could take Jess's stuff to her, to the guest room, that's fine. And he's like, no, like, you guys are gonna sleep in the same room. And I was like, oh, look, only one bed. And then there's not. There's an extra mattress. And I was like...
There's a trundle bed.
Yeah, I was like, has that always been there? Or... I have questions? How do her parents not have questions about that? And, like, maybe they don't know, but it seems like they just leave the bed out. And, like, where did she get the sheets for? So I had questions, and I was like, okay. And it's, like, this distinct thing that happens in the movie where they're sleeping in two beds next to one another, and then they hook up and Olive wakes up, like, in Taylor's bed. So it's very clear, like, right. you know, they spent the night in bed together.
Right, and she's, like, not wearing a shirt. Like, she's not wearing clothes, so it's very clearly, like, they have
right, sex. They definitely did. It's a whole thing. And I'm like, that's very, like, sweet and whatever. And then, like, Olive goes downstairs, and Cheryl says something to her about, like, did they hear Frank snoring all night long? And she's just like, oh, no, I definitely didn't hear that. And I was like, okay, this is, like, again, there's saying something about the fact that, like, we didn't hear you either, which, like, great, but it just, the whole thing left me with so many questions. Like,
this movie, well, I messaged you after I finished it, and I was like, so here's the thing about this movie, is it makes no sense.
It's so also, there's a running theme through it of, like, Taylor, they're writing an article about these five Christmas dates that people can do, and, like, Marge posts it, and then everyone does all these dates, and it turns out that Taylor and Olive have, like, organically managed to do all these dates. Which is, and, like, again, it's very, like, cute that they did this, but it's not, like, they don't make it very much of a thing. It's, like, a thing, but it's not a thing. It's just, like, a thing. And I'm, like,
right.
I feel like if you're going to make a point to, like, make it a thing, it should be a thing. And it's not. Right.
It's just not a thing. Like, it's a thing, but it's not a thing.
I feel like I'm speaking gibberish. I hope people understand what I'm saying.
You make perfect sense to me.
Like, I want it to feel dramatic and, like, climactic. And it just felt like a thing that they noted as, like, ah, this happened. And I'm like, but I want it to feel like it happened to us. And instead it just feels like, yeah, that happened. Like,
right.
Okay.
Right. And yeah, they meet at the end and Olive's like, I got the job! The theater job! And Taylor's like, oh my god, that's amazing.
And it's not even her dream job! She talks to Guy about how this job sucks. Like, but it pays! I can understand if they explored the idea of her being an actress and, like, really wanted to, like, get this special part on this, like, production, but she just, like, didn't think she could or whatever, and then it happened, like, that would feel significant, but this is just, like, she managed to book a kind of crappy part for decent money, like,
right,
which is not bad, but, like, for a movie that's, like, a rom-com, it just feels like it should be more significant. I want magic.
I think that's the thing about this movie, is that it just felt, everything felt kind of, the stuff that felt like it should be significant was not, and the stuff that didn't need to be significant felt like it had so much time given to it.
Yeah.
Like, all of the stuff with Taylor's, like, extended family, and, like, this dude who's, like, 45 or whatever and needs to find a date, and, like,
oh, that was weird.
Family dinner, And then, like, and the, like, person that nobody wanted to invite but came anyway, and, like...
That, the whole thing, again, it... There was, like, a creepy uncle that was, like, asking all of these really uncomfortable questions about, like, going in a helicopter, and the way he did it gave me, like, pervert vibes. It was yes, so
and they just didn't go anywhere with that.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere with that. They had, like, Aunt Tammy or Tracy or whatever her name was, and, like, she was just, like, this weathered down woman who was tired of life and sat there and was like, I should have ended up with a woman. And, like, again, it would have meant more if it just wasn't this super weird line dropped in the middle of nowhere. Like,
there was just so much of this, like, the family scenes, I swear, lasted, like, half an hour.
Frank is literally telling them a story about how this
Frank who
couple got robbed, or, like, robbed one another.
They met at during a robbery.
And one of them was robbing the other. That's how they, like, right. But also they...
But they might have met in class.
Right, they also might have met during class, because that's how he knew it was her, as he recognized... It just... And the whole time Cheryl's sitting there like, this did not happen. That's not even a thing. That's not even a thing that happened. Like.
And then someone is like, this turkey's dry. And Cheryl's so mad.
Her father. He doesn't even say it's dry. He says it's, quote, chewy. I'm like, that was so funny to me. Like, what does that mean? Oh, it's so funny.
And there's, like, some, I don't know, vaguely teen or early 20s.
Young men?
Guy. Young man. There's, like, some young men at the table who are just being young dudes.
Also, you talked about the fireplace scene, and, like, that scene is very sweet, and, like, I genuinely think they could have had, like, such romantic vibes. But, dude, they're sitting with their hair so close to those flames. It had me stressed out the whole time. I was like, you are so close to catching on fire. Because they didn't have, like,
right.
They didn't have, like, a screen or anything. And it's just, like, open flame inches away from their, like, hair and, like, shirts and stuff. And I'm like, one spark and y'all go up. Like, what are you doing?
And they're like, let's toast some marshmallows for our hot chocolate. Oh my god, I've never thought of doing anything like this before. Why is there still a fire going in this house?
Right, they got up in the middle of the night. I'm like, did Taylor start the fire again? Like,
and then she, Olive, like, accidentally burns her marshmallow. She's like, I like it this way anyway. Which, I mean, is the correct opinion, but, like, why are...
It just... It's so funny. Like, it's just so... silly. Like, oh my god,
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it really doesn't. It, oh, I don't know. I do,
they have scenes of Olive and Taylor telling the jewel, like, the necklace story to multiple different people.
Yes.
In this movie, and I'm like, we could have spent a little bit of time on, like, Olive and her backstory, and, like, why she doesn't go see her parents, or
right.
On Kai, or on literally anything else.
Yes. Also, that story was so interesting, because the whole thing was just her telling her, like, I don't know you, but you deserve it. You should get it because you deserve it. And, like, in reality...
That was weird.
Like, yeah, in reality, that's very sweet, but the way it was delivered was, like, oh... You're one of those people who's, like, weirdly inserts themselves into other people's lives with, like, motivational speeches ready to go. And I'm like, stranger, I do not know you.
Right.
Like, I don't need you telling, like, me what I can and can't do.
What's next? Are you going to hand over a Bible and tell you that tell her that Jesus loves her?
That's how it felt! Like, that's genuinely how it felt. I'm like...
Stop proselytizing self-worth!
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, leave her alone. But... I don't know. It's... Anyway. All that to say. It's still a cute movie. Like, it actually genuinely
is.
I just thought it was... Interesting to watch.
It was interesting to, I really watching this movie the whole time, I was just like, huh, that's a choice they made for this movie, huh?
Yeah. What is it with the weird pacing of Christmas movies? Like,
listen, I could tell them how to do this, and it would be better.
I don't know. I thought it, I did. I think you're right. This is one of the only couples we see where they, like, move at a pace as a couple that, like, really works for me, even if the pacing of the movie isn't necessarily the strongest.
Right.
I did think it was frustrating that Taylor went and found Jess and basically, or Jess, went and found Olive and, like, basically told her, like, she wanted to see her again and, like, did she have plans for Easter and she watched Gone with the Wind and all of the things. But she didn't bother to tell her that she told her parents the truth, like, which actually was the problem. I'm like, what you should have said was, I told my parents the truth, like, that should have been your opening line, and it just never got said.
It did not get said. Nor did, sorry for putting in you an extremely unfair position of making you lie to my family.
Right, and then book a bus ticket home on Christmas. How much do you think that that cost?
More than we have established Olive has available.
Where did she get the money?
Well, because we know she didn't keep any of the... She could have at least kept the money.
And I understand it's like a romantic gesture of like, I'm not even taking your money because I care about you too much to like do this for the money or whatever. But I'm like, then how did you pay for that bus ticket home?
Also, like, you are doing this for the money.
Right, you're literally in it for the money. Like,
just pointing that out.
So many choices were made. It's such...
So many choices. And the thing is, every single one of them was maybe the incorrect choice.
What really worked for me is they are at least likable characters.
Yes.
Like I actually like them, despite some of the weird decisions that they make. They're both, like, really sweet and, like, fun on screen and whatever. And there wasn't anything notable about their personalities where I was like, oh, you're, like, really rubbing me the wrong way.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, that's nice. They didn't, like, treat this as some kind of weird AI promotion. They didn't, like, force anyone to go back in the closet. All of those things are great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those things are all good. We like those things. You know, there was just so much opportunity for it to be better.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It's weird to think that we have all these things to say and this episode is going to come out on Christmas Eve, and I feel like it should be more cheerful. We should be like,
well, at the end it all worked out and they got to go back and pretend they were all meeting again for the first time, which was indeed
so cute.
I thought that was very cute, so when cute. They showed up and they were like, oh my god, I'm Olive, like, it's so good to meet, oh my god, you're so tall, like, they just reenacted,
yes,
created the whole thing, which felt really cute to me.
Yes.
And
it's nice,
and so that moment I did like.
It's nice that we know that Taylor didn't even see her parents for like 2 or 3 years, and now she's like going back for multiple holidays in a row. Like, that's also,
yeah, she's
very
going
sweet.
Back for seconds.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're seeing the repair in her relationship with her family. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, over the course of us podcasting, this is holiday movie number 5. Because we watched Happiest Season and Single All the Way last year, and now we've watched this movie, we watched The Christmas Setup, and we watched Friends and Family Christmas. So five.
Yes.
So I wanted to take a minute and maybe, like, talk through the movies a little bit in terms of, like, compare and contrast some of the different tropes they use for holiday movies, and maybe, like, try to rank them and see what we like best and worst about the movies and the tropes that they use.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. So, of the five, which one would you say is probably your favorite that we've watched?
I mean, it's not a competition, right?
Like, Single All the Way is, like, the movie.
We all know my answer. Yeah. Single All the Way is the movie of all time.
It's so good. It is really good. Okay. Which one would you say is probably your least favorite?
It's gotta be Happiest Season, because those characters weren't even likable.
And they definitely weren't happy. Like, it was not the happiest season at all. Also...
No, that movie was just bad.
Also, I think what I struggle with the most with that movie is, like... It didn't actually follow the rom-com tropes the way that you want it to. Like, it felt like that people didn't end up in the situation that they should have. Or, like, it didn't work out the way that it was supposed to.
Right.
What was your favorite thing about Single, like, what made it your favorite?
God, it's been so long since we talked about that one. Honestly, just the whole vibe of it was, like, the pacing was good. The teens were, the meddlesome teens and their little dance routine were phenomenal. Just the idea of this, like, I don't know, it felt very fanficy in the best way of, like, these people are going to end up opening a plant store / bookstore.
Yes.
And it's going to make so much sense. The dad and his, like, his help asking for help with all of the projects around the house.
Yes. Honestly, one of the things I loved so much about that movie was just that, like, it used... a huge number of tropes, and it utilized them all really well. Like,
yes.
Like, Happiest Season was the worst for me because I didn't feel like it landed some of the stuff with the tropes, and Single All the Way was the best for me because it nailed, like, one after the other. We had friends to lovers, we had only one bed, we had you know, like...
over-involved other people.
Yes, over-involved other family members. We had the family members, like, betting on their love life. We had the mom trying to set the guy up with someone else to bring him back home. And then the friend was like, oh, but I have feelings for you. And, like, there was singing and skiing and a Christmas play and, like, all of the things involved. It was just...
There was karaoke stew.
There was karaoke stew. Oh my god, yes. Like, so good.
Is that his name? Was it Stew or Steve?
I'm pretty sure it was Kevin, but, like, we're gonna go with Stew. You said karaoke stew, and I was on board for it. I was rolling with it.
Oh my god.
But I'm pretty sure it's Kevin, because I think of it as, like, an association.
Kevin the Snowplow guy. Yeah, okay, yeah, it is Kevin.
Okay, this is gonna sound insane, but the reason I remembered it's Kevin is because I think about, like, Kevin the Seal from Dead Boy Detectives, and, like, for some reason they're connected in my brain. Like,
Kevin the Seal from Deadlock, you mean?
Yes! I don't know why I said Dead Boy Detectives. Whatever, it's been a long day, so...
yes, though. Yes, that movie had... well, now that's making me think of Karaoke Daniel, who's a guy my family sort of met on a trip to Mexico many years ago.
Oh my god.
That's a story for another time.
Okay. Alright, well, was it a holiday trip? Like...
Spring break.
Oh, okay. Alright, we'll come back to that in, like, April. Anyway, so the three in the middle, then, are the ones that we watched this year. So, of the three that we have just watched, I feel like these are a lot harder to rank, because each of them has, like, some core issues, and then some really good things. And, like, they're all just a little bit messy.
Yes.
Of...
I feel like, in order, I would say... I would say the Christmas setup, friends and family Christmas, and then looking for her.
In order of liked...
From favorite to least
favorite. To least favorite?
Liked to least liked.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I want to say you're probably right. Not right, but, like, I probably agree with you on that ranking.
No, you can just say I'm right. That's
I fine. Just mean it's opinion. People can disagree and they're not wrong. Like, people can like what they like. But I think I might agree with you on that order. Just because despite the fact that the Christmas setup, like, didn't work for me in terms of, like, their relationship and where they ended up, like, we just didn't get enough commitment. It didn't feel complete. They did still have a lot of really fun, like, tropes in it and a lot of really good stuff with the other characters. And it had, like, some layered plot going on that I really liked. So, yeah, I think that definitely is at the top. I think that in some ways I like some of the concepts from Looking for Her better than I like Friends and Family Christmas, but I think I liked the execution of Friends and Family Christmas better.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's where I land on it.
Like, I think because this movie is so slow, ultimately the other one was more fun to watch, even though I think some of the stuff they did with this story is a little bit better.
Yes. Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, well, decisions have been made.
Decisions have been made, yeah. If you have, for some reason, seen all five of these movies, dear listeners, tell us your ranking.
Yes. Also, again, like, maybe we need to keep, like, a running list, and as we, like, watch more Christmas movies, we should continue to rank them or something. I don't know. I have definitely watched some other Christmas movies that we didn't get to, which is fine. I am impressed that at least with how Christmas movies work in general, and also, like, given the fact that these are queer Christmas movies, like, overall they work fairly well either way. Like, I enjoyed watching them.
Yes, I agree with that. They're fun to watch, even if I don't know that I necessarily would watch them all again.
How do you feel about the fact that The Happiest Season appears to be, like, the biggest budget of the five, and, like, with the most established, like, actors and everything in it, and yet it's the one that we disliked the most?
I mean, I think it's one of those things that proves that, like, you can have the best cast in the world, but if your script isn't good...
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know, maybe there are people who love that movie. There probably are people who love that movie.
I bet there are.
I think it also just, like, when we watched it, I remember just feeling like it was such a sort of a downer.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about this before. But I think what really bumped for me is, like, it is, like you said, just a downer. And also, like, it wasn't about Christmas joy. Like, it was about queer struggles set during the holiday season. It's about queer people, like, struggling to be out and be accepted and loved by their family, and this the fear associated with that and the need to hide from people associated with that and like how it negatively impacts your loved ones and how it limits your ability to like live your life in a way that is fulfilling, which is like a common queer experience and something that I think maybe would have been better explored in a different movie. But because they said it at Christmas and they're like sold it as a Christmas movie, I went in expecting something more cheerful,
a little more Christmassy maybe.
If I'm gonna watch a Christmas movie, I want it to be joyful. Like, that, to me, that's the point of, like, Christmas movies, is that they're fun and, like, celebrating the season and, like, celebrating love and doing those things. And this wasn't that. And maybe it's because it was a bigger budget movie or because it wasn't, like, a Hallmark movie or a Lifetime movie or something, like, limited to those genre expectations. I don't know.
I think it's like when I want a holiday movie, I'm looking for something that I don't have to think too hard about and something that has fun vibes and like a happy ending. And I want characters who I like.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to spend time thinking, like, I want it to be uncomplicated in a lot of ways. Like, this is the plot, this is the good guys, this is the bad guys, sort of, like, this, and that's what I want out of a movie. Like, I want something like that, where miscommunication is the bad guy, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, something, like, simple that can easily be resolved and give everybody a happy ending. I want a happy ending. I want a happy ending for the characters.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it too. Like, it's hard because in queer media, I do feel like we have an unfair ratio of like sad stories and like struggles for queer characters. But I mean, I do think that queer struggle and like, you know, grief and all of those things like deserve to be talked about and like seen on screen. But especially for a Christmas movie, I just really want joy. I want a happy ending.
That's the thing, is like holidays are really hard for me. And I know that they're hard for you too.
Ugh.
I don't want something that makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
I want something that's just fun and easy and uncomplicated. And at the end, I'm like, wow, what a diverting hour and a half. I'm never going to get this song out of my head.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I want it to be fun. I want it to be uplifting. I want to see them have a good time. And I do, and of the five movies, I do at least appreciate that, you know, four of them gave us like pretty happy endings and like the couples are together and they're having a good time. Two questionable results for a couple of them, but
the thing is, that's the kind of thing I can hand wave away a little easier of like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, well.
Right. I'm like, you know, I don't know what Hugo and Patrick are going to do. Maybe they'll commute. Who knows? Well,
do I think they're endgame? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. But I like at least that we get happy endings. I feel like that's the minimum expectation that I should be able to have with a Christmas movie, is to go in expecting that the characters will get a happy ending at the end.
That's what I want, yes. I want the good guys to get a happy ending, and I want the bad guys to get laughed out of town after their bad karaoke performance. Like, that's...
Yes!
That's the level of complexity I'm looking for.
Yes. Like... Yeah. Just let it be cute. Just let it be fun. Also, like, I like the fun Christmas music. I don't do Christmas music a lot. I'm a little bit of a Grinch. But, like, holiday movies are one of those exceptions where I'm like, oh yes, they have the karaoke scenes and they have the cute Christmas songs.
Yes.
That was kind of the bummer for me about this movie, is they just didn't really have a lot of actually cheerful holiday music.
And they don't think they had a karaoke scene. We've broken our streak.
Also, I'm sorry. I wasn't even going to say anything, but I need to admit this. I think there's a lot of references to Gone with the Wind in this movie, and like it being Olive's favorite movie and other people watching it and how Taylor didn't get it. And then she watched it again and she really understood it. And she like compares their relationship to the characters in Gone with the Wind. And I was just like embarrassed to admit I've never seen that movie. So it like just didn't land for me. I was like, I don't connect with this.
Have that same problem.
You
so.
Well, at least I'm not alone in it. Like I was just like, oh, is this like, okay.
Sure, I guess this is deeply romance or something, but.
Right. Yeah. It was a really specific, like, cultural reference that I just didn't get. So.
And they don't give you any information on it in the movie for people who might not have seen
it. No, they definitely assume that you'll know what it's about. Which is hilarious given the fact that one of the characters, like, didn't understand the movie and that was the point, but they don't. Like, it's not like one of the characters tries to explain the plot to her and she doesn't get it, and then she goes and watches it and she gets it. Like, they just keep referencing random quotes from the movie. Like, that's gonna somehow unlock something in her brain. And I was like,
right.
Well, it's not working for her, and it's not working for me either. I don't get it.
Correct. Like, you gotta give me something. Why is it Olive's favorite movie? What right. is it about this story that she likes so much? Give us some information. And we can spend less time talking about whether the turkey is chewy.
It would have worked better. Okay, it would have worked better if she talked about how this movie was like her favorite movie and why it was her favorite movie and it was so meaningful to her. And then the part she booked was a part of like one of the characters of the movie.
Oh,
and like
yes.
she got to participate in like a performance of that story. Again, it's just, like, little stuff. I'm just like, you could have just made it connect, and it just...
Yeah. That's the thing, is it had all the pieces, and none of... They all felt like they belonged to different stories.
Yes, it felt like they just, you know, decided to pick and choose things from different stories they liked without finding a way to actually weave them all together coherently. So, okay, well, cute movie, and we just, you know,
eviscerated that movie.
We obliterated it. Good for that movie. Sorry if you came here to hear good things, but this is, you know, what we do apparently is dump on cute, simple things. We're like, hey, make it so simple so we can, like, be mean to it, and then we take very complex things and, like, say nice things about it. So. Okay.
Yep.
Well, Merry Early Christmas to everyone. Christmas, when this episode comes out, Christmas will be tomorrow. So,
oh my gosh.
Merry Christmas to you all. If you celebrate, and happy holidays, whatever holiday you celebrate, to anybody who doesn't.
Yes, happy third night of Hanukkah to everyone.
Yes.
Happy winter to those who just are having a nice time in winter, or if you're in Australia, happy summer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, happy like peppermint season for, you know, people who love Starbucks or whatever, like enjoy yourselves. Also, so this month, because it is extra long, we have 5 Wednesdays in this month, and as you guys know, this year we did the whole thing where every 5th Wednesday we have like an off-topic conversation. Hilarious to me that we're actually like literally ending the year on that. Like, it's the 31st and we're going to be ending the year with our conversation. So we figured, what better way to end our year than with, like, an end of the year wrap up about how, like, what we've done this year and, like, some of our favorite things we've covered, some of our least favorite things we've covered, and just, like, you know, talk about how we feel it's gone.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes. You can hear us rehash some of our favorite and least favorite tropes. I think our intention was also to maybe talk about some ideas for maybe holiday movies that we would like to hear told instead of, or
yes,
hand in hand with some of the things we've already watched, like some stories that we would write. I'm very excited to hear your ideas for that now. I think you have some really good ones.
I do.
And hey, if you guys...
I do. They're going
to
be great.
If you guys have ideas for cute holiday movies and you want to send them to us, by all means, tell us what you think would make like the movie better.
Yep. You should do that.
So,
well, until next time, friends.
Yeah. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
Totally Normal About That is a podcast hosted and produced by Lucia and Mel. Are you feeling totally normal about something we talked about today? Is there a piece of media you feel totally normal about? We want to hear about it. You can find us on Twitter at @totallynormalat, or you can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying these episodes, please leave us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. Thanks!